Today, we're going to continue our theme on Get Your Hopes Up. But before that, I want to start that. I want to say welcome to my friend Diane that I've never met until today. Like, in person. We have been in online Zoom prayer for over 2 years now. Janet and she are partners in business together for Porchlight Rental. And Diane has been so faithful to come every Monday, unless she's traveling for business. She's there on the Zoom call with us. There's only about four or five of us who normally come together. Ron is one of them. Janet, of course, comes when she's able. Janet and Diane have roped in the person who is in business next to them, Matt, and then one of their workers from California. So that's what we do. We get together and pray from noon until one on Mondays every week. And it's such a blessing to meet you in person. Just a beautiful heart, Diane and her daughter and her son-in-law. And it's just wonderful to have them with us. So thanks for coming today. I'm glad Janet told me you were coming, because I told you, if you show up out of context, it might take me a minute to figure out, because I'm used to seeing her in a little box, you know. So it's really nice that you're out of the box. You've been set free. So today we're going to talk about Get Your Hopes Up, and we're going to talk about unlikely carriers. Merry Christmas. Can I say thank you to all the decorators who made this place beautiful? Like, the sanctuary looks beautiful. The Gilmore Girls, our more famous Gilmore Girls, decorated the sanctuary for us. Stephanie and Linda decorated the foyer out front. And then the youth did the tree for us. So it was such a team effort. And I just love coming in and seeing it. It's so beautiful. So Merry Christmas. I wanted to let you know that we have a Christmas Eve service at a different time than normal this year. We're experimenting. Everything's an experiment at Oak River Church. We're always experimenting. We don't get stuck in tradition very much. So we're doing it from 4 to 5 this year to see if families can come together, either come here together for service and then go do their normal Christmas Eve stuff or do their stuff before, whatever. So we're going to try it from 4 to 5, and that'll be an all-family service, babies, children, everybody welcome. I try to keep it very interactive on Christmas Eve because I know how kids are. I have 3 kids who are now adults who still act like kids sometimes. And so I try to keep it interactive and busy, but it'll be fun. I wanted to let you know, spread the word, no Christmas, no service next week on Sunday. We'll have our Christmas Eve service from 4 to 5, but no service on Sunday, Christmas Day. We encourage you to celebrate Jesus well in your homes. Really, make him central. Find some way to make him more of a focal point than you ever have before. Even if you've always made him a focal point, find a way. Some people make a little birthday cake for Jesus. Some people read the Christmas story. However is good for your family, just find a way to incorporate him and celebrate him well. We will have service 2 weeks from today on January 1st. Can you believe it's already almost 2023? Like what? So we'll have service, but here's the good news. We'll have it an hour later. So you can watch the ball fall and then get some sleep and then come to church. It really, I can't think of a better way to start the new year. I'm old school. I know it's not trendy. I get it, but I'm old school. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate Jesus and prioritize him at the beginning of the year than coming together and doing corporate worship. So whoever's here, we'll celebrate. Whoever can't come for whatever reason, that's okay too. No guilt, no shame, just love, all love, okay? So are your hopes still up from last week? I hope so. We talked about how to keep your hopes up last week. And this week we're going to talk about unlikely carriers of hope. Unlikely carriers, and we see this in the Christmas story, but before I go into that, I want to tell you a little story about when I was an unlikely carrier of hope. Many years ago, when I was in high school, I was in a large high school. There were over 600 in my graduating class, and I was painfully shy, hard to believe, I know, but I was, and awkward. I was super awkward. I was tall. I still am, but I mean, in high school, it's a little different when you're a tall girl, especially all the tall girls know what I'm talking about. I was tall, I was awkward, and I was shy, and I was in a large group of people. I didn't really play sports for one reason or another. I was in choir and chorus and stuff, but I wasn't really super involved. I was the president of the Teens for Christ Club. Impressive, right? No, there were like 7 people in it. It's all right. We had a good time. Once a week meeting. I'm just saying I wasn't the influencer in high school at all. At all. But the last week of my senior year, when you're doing yearbook signings, you know, and we had a cool little courtyard outdoors because it's down south, so you could have an outdoor courtyard. We had a courtyard outside. We were all signing yearbooks and exchanging yearbooks with people that I barely knew. I might have history with them. I barely knew them. And I get home, and I start reading what people have written to me, and I am dumbfounded because person after person after person said, you don't know how many times I've looked at you and you've given me hope. You've given me strength to have faith. And I've looked at you and you've been an example for me. And I'm just really thankful that you were here in high school with me. And I'm like, I was invisible. I felt invisible in high school. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It is what it is. It taught me some good stuff. But I learned that day that there were a whole lot of people watching me that I didn't even know were watching me. And I felt like such an unlikely carrier of hope. Like, what? You could pick the football quarterback. You could pick this person. You could pick that person. Really? Me? I felt so unlikely. And yet, I learned that I was an influencer, just not in the way I knew. So today I want to talk about some unlikely carriers in the Christmas story. But even before that, 1,000 years before Jesus was born, there was a little guy on the backside of the desert who was a shepherd. And even his own father, when the prophet came to the home and said, one of your sons is going to be the next king of Israel, and his father brought all the other sons up and said, yep, it's got to be one of these. And the prophet said, nope, no, looks good, not the one God has chosen. Nope, 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 nope. You don't have anybody else? And his dad goes, well, there's my youngest son who's a shepherd out in the middle of the desert, and I don't. And the prophet said, yeah, go get him. And as soon as the prophet saw him, he was like, yep, he's the one. Unlikely. Unlikely choice for the next king of Israel. Very unlikely. You see, in Bible days, shepherds had a very negative reputation in the community of Israel. They were basically homeless transients. They didn't have a home, and they traveled from location to location to feed their sheep. So they didn't have a group except each other. That was it, right? They were stinky, because in those days they didn't have hotels. Ramada Inns or, you know, any of those hotels to go and take a good shower, so that when they were living outdoors, they were camping for months on end. Woo. Okay. They were legally not allowed in corporate worship because of the animals that they handled and touched made them unclean to be part of the corporate worship setting. And they were very unpolished and coarse. And yet, God chose shepherds. God chose shepherds once again. 1,000 years after choosing David to be king, he chose shepherds to have an encounter. So the first point is an unlikely encounter. Luke 2:8-9, I'm reading from the easy to read version because I like the easy to read version. It's easy to read. That night, some shepherds were out in the fields near Bethlehem watching their sheep. an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord was shining around them. The shepherds were very afraid. Of course they were afraid. Of course they were. They weren't allowed in corporate worship. And now an angel shows up, and they have to be thinking, uh-oh, what did we do wrong? God saw us doing something, saying something, whatever. They had to have that moment. You can't tell me they didn't. They were human. Most of us, if we think there's going to be an encounter with God or anything heavenly, we're like, oh boy, hope I'm ready for this, right? Yet an angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory, the goodness, the brightness of the Lord was shining all around them. Do you ever feel unlikely to encounter God? Surely God will choose somebody else than me. This is why it's 1/3 of our mission at Oak River Church. Really, this is why. Because if shepherds can encounter God, you can encounter God. Just let it give you hope. God wants to encounter you. Now, it may not be an angel showing up. It may, who knows? It may not be the glory of the Lord shining all around. It may just be a quiet knowing in your heart that he loves you, that he likes you too, that he loves you and he likes you. Most of us can accept, okay, God loves me. I've heard that my whole life. He doesn't like me. Oh, yes, he does. He made you. So of course he likes you. So they had an unlikely encounter, and that led to point two, them being unlikely recipients. Luke 2:10-11 says, the angel said to them, don't be afraid. Whew, okay. I love those words. Don't be afraid. I have some very good news for you, news that will make everyone happy. Today, your Savior was born in David's town. He is the Messiah, the Lord. You know what struck me about reading this week in multiple translations, because I checked it to make sure it wasn't just in this translation? The word you and the word your. Look at it. I have very good news for you, stinky shepherds. I have very good news for you, legally not allowed in corporate worship. I have very good news for you, people who turn it away from you when you walk by because you stink. I have very good news for you. And then, look at that, in verse 11, today your Savior was born. Not just the Savior. Today your Savior was born. Oh my goodness. My heart does flips when I hear that. Your Savior was born. You see, whether or not you feel like you deserve, I get so tired of that argument. Whether or not you feel like you deserve good news, I'm here to give you some good news. Get out of the deserving aisle, because none of us deserve it. So, the news is, don't be afraid of God. Have respect for him. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I have good news for you. News that will change your life and the lives of everyone who knows you. People I don't know, but people you know and that you have influence, that they're watching you, even if they never say they're watching you, even if they never pass around a yearbook and say, wow, I really watched you, thanks. They're still watching you, even if you don't have 10,000 followers on social. You are an influencer. You have influence. Your Savior has been born. I'm so convinced that the message and the life of Jesus means more once we see a need for a Savior. I will confess that I was older before I saw my need for a Savior. I mean, when I was a kid and I would do something wrong, I'd be like, yeah, I messed up. But I didn't really see my need for a Savior. And the older I get, the more I recognize what a gift it is that I need a Savior. It's such a gift. Because when I know I need a Messiah, there's Messiah. He's there. He's there for me. God became one of us with us. And then, point three, they got to become unlikely guests. Luke 2, 12 through 16. This is how you will know him. You will find a baby wrapped in pieces of cloth and lying in a feeding box. Wait, what? That always perplexes me. But at the same time, comforts me that God chose Jesus to be born probably in a cave, is what most people, theologians, think. In a cave, in a feeding box. Wow. Then a huge army of angels from heaven joined the first angel, and they were all praising God, saying, "Praise God in heaven and on earth. Let there be peace to the people who please him." Now, I used to read that, and I used to think, peace only for the people who make God happy. Everybody else, you're doomed. I don't think it means that anymore. I think that means peace to all the people. God loves you. Yeah. Period. Yes. Yes. He loves you. 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 Peace to the people, all the people who please God by their very existence because he created them and loves them and cherishes them. Oh, that is good news. Verse 15, the angels left the shepherds and went back to heaven. The shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this great event the Lord has told us about." So they went running and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a feeding box. Now, here's the thing. When my first grandson, when both my great grandkids, but when my grandson was born, it was at the height of COVID. They wouldn't let any guests in, you know, to see him. And it took a lot of willpower for this girl not to drive to the hospital and demand entrance. You probably would have seen me taken away in handcuffs. Because I was like, that's my grandbaby in there. I want to go see him. But I had to wait for an invitation. Not from my son and daughter-in-law, but from, you know, people, and like it had to happen. So I had to wait until they got home, and then my son called and said, "Hey, Mom, you can come see the baby." And I about burned tires getting there. I could not wait to put my hands on my grandson. I couldn't wait to put my eyes on him. I had seen FaceTime. I had seen all that. It's not the same. And I wanted to touch him, and I wanted to smell him, and I wanted to see his face, right? Shepherds were chosen to go and see the Messiah. Talk about unlikely guest. Really, they wouldn't have made the list, you know, when you were doing your wedding. You had a list, right? You had to figure out who's coming and who, sorry, love you, but no, can't do it. Because there's a limit, you know. Shepherds were chosen to come and see the Messiah first. How do you know they were invited? Because the angel said, this is how you will know him. You will find him wrapped in pieces of cloth and lying in a feeding trough. Angels wouldn't have said that unless there was an unwritten invitation. Go find him. You get to see him. I love that. I love that. Then they became unlikely carriers. You are a carrier. I hope you know you're a carrier. But even if you're not, you still are a carrier. Even if it's unlikely. Luke 2, 17 through 20, when they saw the baby, they told what the angel said about this child. Everyone was surprised when they heard what the shepherds told them. Mary continued to think about these things, trying to understand them. The shepherds went back to their sheep, praising God and thanking him for everything they had seen and heard. It was just as the angel had told them. You know what word struck me out of that passage? The word everyone. Now, you would think it would say Mary and Joseph and the shepherds were amazed at what they heard. But that's not what it says. So that implies to me that all the way from wherever they were on the backside of the desert to Bethlehem, they were telling everybody they came into contact with what was happening. You're never going to believe this. I know we're not allowed in church, but angels appeared to us out there in the stinky, dirty desert, and this is what the angel said, and then we went to see, and here's what the baby looked like, and I got to hold him. I'm adding a little bit, but there has to be some addition a little bit because not every word is included in the Bible. So we have to imagine what it looked like. I love that everyone was surprised. I also love that Mary, who also had an angelic encounter 9 months earlier, Mary kept thinking about these things, trying to understand them. Some translations say she pondered them in her heart. Means that. Means, huh. Okay, I know what the angel said 9 months ago. I know I just gave birth to a baby. I know it hurt, even though it was God. I know it was messy, even though it was God. I know he's hungry. I know he needs me. And now these shepherds, of all people, are coming to tell me what they experienced about my son? Now, I'd be pondering that too. But you know what? Then the shepherds went back to their sheep, but not silently. Not silently. It says they were praising God and thanking him for everything they had seen and heard. Can you imagine how their lives changed from that moment forward? No longer were they the rejected ones. They were the chosen ones by God to be able to carry good news and to be able to see the new baby. Wow. Their lives, they went back to shepherding, obviously. So I don't think they started an evangelistic ministry or became a web TV preacher. I don't think that's what happened. But somehow, you know, their lives changed because they went from being the most unlikely to have an encounter with God to now carrying hope and good news, and the Messiah has finally come. Here's the thing, I believe it so much. Once you taste true, everlasting hope, you stop looking at your own unlikeliness of being a carrier. Maybe I need to say that again. Once you taste true, everlasting hope, you stop looking at how unlikely you are to be a carrier. You stop the preoccupation with self. And some of it is fake humility. We're like, oh, I'm just no good. I'm just no good. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. The truth is, that's true, but God made you worthy. So why identify with what you used to be? Why not identify with who you are now? You are a carrier of hope and light and faith. I know that COVID was tough. It still is. I know that. I'm not oblivious to that. But Raj and Ron and I were talking before service, and Kim, COVID made us conditioned to be like scared. Of being with people, scared of giving hugs. I asked Diane, can I give you a hug today? She's like, yes. You know, like I have never in my life before COVID asked, can I give you a hug? And now I'm like, can I give you a hug before I hug someone? Because it conditioned us. And I believe from the womb, we were conditioned because we're born with sin. We're born in sin. The Bible's very clear on that. We're not born perfect little people. We're not. We're born in sin, but once we come to know the Messiah, We recognize that we have been made worthy. And so take off the old way of thinking and put on the new way of thinking. God chose me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. I'm a carrier of hope. Yeah. I'm a carrier of light and faith. I'm rereading, it's an older book. I'm rereading a book by Bob Sorge right now called The Secrets of the Secret Place. Highly recommend. I'm always recommending books to you, but maybe you get it. Maybe you are a reader, and maybe you're not. That's okay. I have a good quote for you today from the book. Talking about the importance of stillness. It's a long quote, so you can't write it down probably, unless you know shorthand, Judy. Deep down, we know that sermons and teachings, although edifying, can never replace the caring power, the power to carry, we find when we sit at his feet and hear his word for ourselves. We don't need to add another condemning word to the berating voices we all know so well. What we need, rather, is for our eyes to be lifted to the glorious hope we already carry within. When we learn to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, Psalm 91, we are positioning ourselves to discover the key to true kingdom fruitfulness. Reproductive power is unlocked in the shadow of the Almighty. Okay, write that one down if you want. Reproductive power is unlocked in the shadow of the Almighty. So when I sit and I find a secret place to meditate on God and to read his word, even if it's for 5 minutes, reproductive power is found there. My ability to reproduce hope and light and love and faith and joy is all found right there in the secret place. Now, why do I do what I do? I should just send you all home and say, find your secret place, right? I hope that something little I do or say inspires you to find your own secret place. Because I got to tell you, most of what I share up here comes out of my secret place. It's from there. It's not because I went online and found the latest, greatest teaching. I listen to teachings online all the time, but I've never taught someone else's message. I reproduce from my secret place. That's what I do. People say, how do you prepare a message? I do a lot of sitting and being quiet. I do look up commentaries. I do look up original translations. I do that. But it's born in the secret place. And then I nurture it in the other ways. But it's born in the secret place. In these days leading up to Christmas, I want you to carve out even 5 minutes a day as a birthday gift to baby Jesus. 5 minutes a day, not to do. That's what we do, right? No, to sit and listen. What if I don't hear anything? I'll read my Facebook post from Friday. It's all right if you don't hear anything. But you will eventually. And when you do, it'll make all the waiting worth it. It'll make it worth it. Yes, I love reading scripture, but sometimes I think we get so consumed with, I have to read my scripture, we forget about the secret place. Okay? Yes, read a scripture. In 5 minutes, read one scripture. Do the old flop and drop. It's fine. You know what I mean by flop and drop. You take your Bible and you just drop it. Whatever it flops open to, that's what you read. That's fine. Read one verse. Not Leviticus though, right? Please, not Leviticus. It'll be too hard. I love Leviticus, but don't. No. Read one verse and then sit in the stillness of that moment and meditate on who God is and what that verse means to you for 5 minutes every day between now and Christmas. And see if it doesn't whet your appetite to start something new in 2023. To just meditate on God and his goodness. Some of you already know this probably, but God used a very unlikely shepherd again in the past 75 years. Does anybody know this story? This is the coolest story. In 1947, a young Bedouin shepherd was searching for his lost sheep out in the caves and hills of the desert of Israel, and couldn't find one of his lost sheep. So he saw a cave up in the distance, and he thought maybe it went in there. So he picked up a rock and he threw it in the cave to try to scare if there was a sheep in there. And he heard a clink, broken glass. And he was like, wow, what's that? So he went to investigate. The most unlikely person. And you know what he found? He found the Dead Sea Scrolls. Documents that had not been read in 2,000 years or something. What? Why does that matter? Why does it matter that God chose a young Bedouin shepherd? It matters because these were the earliest dated writings of Christianity. It matters because they proved that the writings about Yahweh were reliable. They were found so much later, but they lined up with what had already been found. Like, the likelihood of that happening is astronomical. It also proved that the writings about Yahweh preceded the writings about Allah, which is interesting. I'm not an anti-Muslim person at all, but I find it intriguing that the writings about Yahweh came before the writings of Allah, because in that geographic area, there's some debate on that. No, Allah came, chicken or egg first. Allah came first. No, Yahweh came first. No, Allah came first. And so when these writings were discovered, it silenced that argument. It became an invalid argument. I love that. It also gave us insight into the culture of Jesus' day, which I love learning about that. So once again, God used a shepherd, just like King David, just like the shepherds in the field who got to see the baby Jesus, and this little shepherd who found the Dead Sea Scrolls. He used these shepherds to have an unlikely encounter. This shepherd didn't have any clue what he found when he found the Dead Sea Scroll. Had no clue. Took it down to some historian and said, hey, what, you know what this is? And they're like, oh! Yeah. Unlikely encounter, unlikely recipients, unlikely guest, and very unlikely carriers. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you choose even the most unlikely of us. Oh, I'm really grateful for that. I pray for anyone in this room who has devalued themselves in any way, that you would put your value on them and in them so profoundly that they would never again question their own value. That this date, December 18th, 2022, would become a marking day for them in their faith journey, that they have forever settled the question of whether or not they, quote, deserve your goodness and your grace and your mercy. But because of your choosing, they have become deserving of that. Because of your choosing, you have lavished it out on us. And I pray that it would be settled in our hearts and minds in new ways, starting from this day forward. Even those of us who think we understand it, that it will reach deeper places in our hearts and our psyche than we've ever had it reach before. I pray that as we go into this week leading up to Christmas Day next week, that you would empower us to take 5 minutes a day to be still before you. No guilt, no shame, just stillness before you. And that you would encounter people in those 5 minutes in ways that they've never experienced. Whether it's a still small voice or a voice in the thunder, whatever it looks like. I ask you to encounter people in the secret place this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So again, Christmas Eve service from 4 to 5 for those with short-term memory loss like Dory. Finding Nemo, Dory, you know. Okay, sorry. I have grandkids, so I'm all in the back in the stage of that. Next week, remember, you're celebrating Jesus in your homes. Do it well. Do it creatively your way. It doesn't have to look like my way. Do it your way, but celebrate Jesus well. And then 2 weeks from today at 11:30, what time? 11:30. What time? 11:30. Repetition is learning. Thank you. And that day, whoo, I'm excited. I'm unveiling our 2023 theme for the whole year. Finally got it. Finally got it. The Lord was slow on my time frame to give it to me. Normally I have it by the end of October, beginning of November. This year it was last week. And I'm like, you know, breaking out in hives almost, but not really. But I was like, God, we're close. You see our calendar, right? He laughed. Okay. So anyway, I get to unveil that theme. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's going to be great. I hope you have a great week. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy some coffee and bagels on your way out. Sit and fellowship with somebody. Hang out if you have time. And kibitz among yourselves. Okay. Have a great week. Thanks. Bye.